Sanity Plea Radio is a show about what we call nerd culture, which includes books, films, card games, board games, role-playing games like Dungeons & Dragons, etc. It's admittedly a vague definition. Interest in these hobbies aside, though, it's hard to pin down just what nerd means. In common usage, it seems to denote not just a set of hobbies, but also a set of behaviors and personal characteristics thought to be possessed by people with those hobbies. Listeners who have read Junot Diaz's The Brief Wondrous Life of Oscar Wilde will know the stereotype well as personified by the title character, but even that book doesn't go into the why. Why are these so-called nerd pursuits thought to go hand in hand with social awkwardness, shyness, being male, being seen as unattractive, dressing poorly? This is a stereotype, of course, but where does that stereotype come from? In this episode, we explore that stereotype, but ultimately stop short of a concrete, formal explanation. We explore it within the context of the card game Magic the Gathering. For listeners who aren't familiar with Magic, it's a collectible card game, or CCG, really the granddaddy of all CCGs, and undoubtedly the most popular. Players assume the role of wizards and compete by playing cards representing magical spells, fantastic lands, magical creatures, and the like. You'll hear us talk about getting back into the game, which most of us started playing as kids. You'll then hear Dan and Jeff's experience playing, or rather trying to play, in an organized Magic tournament at a local game shop. If you've listened to any of our previous episodes, you know that the discussion you're about to hear will be a good deal more jocular than I'm making it sound in this intro, more group of guys talking and joking than conducting some sort of anthropological study. I worry that we sound mean in this episode, maybe portraying ourselves as able to pass as, quote, normal, and therefore being better than other nerds who don't. I think, however, you will hear the element of self-deprecation in the discussion, along with the recognition of how arbitrary these labels can be. Paul starts us off by recalling when he first started playing Magic as a kid.
I started in 7th grade. I felt like 80% of my friends were playing, even if they're, you know, in the athletics or skateboarders or anything. Everybody played Magic.
Very popular.
I don't remember this at all.
I know I started playing.
Reading Robert Jordan at the lunch table.
Are you saying my perception is skewed? Is that what you're saying?
Blinders on.
So we played from what, 7th grade? So I was 13, 14 on until about middle of high school, 17, 18, and then I think we all kind of sold our cards. And
bottom line, it was a
many years.
It was a sort of a mostly middle and high school pursuit that fell away.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Once we all kind of went to college, it kind of was like, wow, we're never gonna play this again. Kind of like D&D. Everything we did in those years kind of went to the wayside because we were all, you know,
busy,
far apart from each other, busy, yep. Had jobs, girlfriends, the like.
The like.
But to answer your question, I'm very excited to be back. It's
very excited.
I feel, especially with the addition of Mr. Wilson, I feel like my game's gone to a better level than it ever has been since we played even in high school. I mean, I think in high school we kind of...
You're like 43% smarter now, though.
Well, yes, true. But I think if Wilson was not in the equation, I feel like our Magic...
You're saying he's pushing your game.
He's pushing our game, and I'm also learning from him how to, like, you know, construct things or maybe a little faster, maybe work a little better. But back in the day, we would just make decks that were fun to play, and, you know, maybe there's
big multiplayer games. Will, you had that 200-card deck.
But I'm glad to be back. I don't know about you guys. I'm glad that Will still has a little collection.
Yes. He doesn't foolishly jettison all his childhood memories like I do. I better get rid of all this.
Yeah. Sell.
At 2-year intervals. How many times have you repurchased all your D&D materials?
I did mistakenly sell off my nerd possessions many times now. I do have a copy of all the core rule books, editions 1-4. Now, which I don't plan on selling. I don't know. I just was intimidated for many years, especially with women and how they would judge me.
I mean, that's...
Like, what's this, a hook whore in here? Yes, it's a hook whore. But yeah, hopefully that won't happen again. Like you said, Paul, we'll have these Magic cards till we die.
Yeah, I probably will never get rid of these, even if I eventually get a girlfriend again and get married, have kids. I will maybe pass these on. Most dads have baseball cards or Hot Wheels or some shit to pass on. I'll have Magic cards and Dungeons & Dragons dice. So
We should note that that Jeff Wilson is here with us in the room. He's he doesn't have a mic, but we're gonna force him to say something. This will be the first time he's been recorded on film since Danielle's wedding.
Would you guys like to talk about your since we're on the topic of Magic real quick? Would you like to talk about trying to play in those tournaments at the local card shop and just seeing plenty of neck beards and just things that we tend to laugh at and make fun of a lot? Would you
smells like TV
dinner in
here?
Would you care to join us, Mr. Wilson?
Yeah, sure. Hi.
Excellent. So, Dan, you want to give a synopsis of that day, well, and then you guys can go back and forth, and I'll shut my mouth.
Sure. There was a there's a pre-release event happening at a local gaming store, and they were having a couple of tournaments. The first was a what was it, Jeff? The first tournament we were going to play in was a
sealed.
Yeah. And then there was the draft later. The sealed started at what time?
I think it was 11.
11, you're right.
And the drafts were advertised for 3 o'clock.
Yes.
And we were told at 11 o'clock that drafts would start at 3 o'clock.
Yes, by the store owner.
Yes.
And we showed up at what time? About 10:45, 10:50. Yeah.
And the sealed was sold out.
It was completely packed.
With people, you mean?
Yeah. Many nerds.
Which you would think, and since there were many people who didn't get to play in the sealed, that there'd be many people who would want to draft at 3 o'clock.
Right.
And, you know, given that card shops aren't exactly, you know, a booming business, you think they'd be happy to take your money at 3 o'clock?
They were not.
They were not happy to take your money. They were bitter and angry and just wanted us to leave.
Well, so we got there at 10:50. They were sold out. We left, came back later. And then when we walk in, the person the store owner was playing in the tournament at this point. The man he had at the register had a big name tag on that said, don't ask me, don't talk to me unless you're buying something.
Yes.
That's not even an exaggeration. That was literally, he had a sign on his shirt.
He looked like a sandwich sign, like a hobo.
Exactly. So I think you went up to him and said, I want to play in the draft. Does that mean I'm buying something?
I did say that, yes.
And he said, we don't know when that's happening, rudely.
Even though this is an event that they had advertised.
Yes.
Twice,
both, yes.
On their website and previously in the day.
Yeah, exactly. God, that website, I forgot about that.
And nobody would give you a straight answer. They're like, later.
It's well, a, no, it, it'll soon. Happen when it happens.
Yes.
I mean, to what extent did you see that as disorganization, and to what extent was it misanthropy?
Well, I think that you had even said, Jeff, like when we left, like saying, well, they'll probably start it when enough people get done. But I don't, like, there was like no indication on what stage of that sealed that was with the, what the part of the, you know, beginning, middle, end.
I mean, if they wanted to run an 8-man draft, they could have. They had the table space, and I'm sure the guy could have just queued up the tournament on the computer. And
yeah,
got an 8-man going.
I agree.
It's not the hardest thing in the world to run a Magic.
They lost money.
Yes. And they lost customers because of how mean they were.
Yes, I've started an unofficial boycott of just because of how the mean. Well, trying
so
to get
how
in there.
Many how many players showed up to this?
Jeff, 40, 50 probably. Maybe
I'm
less.
I'm
than
guessing
that.
The sealed probably was, oh man, somewhere between 20 and 30, like, was probably like the cap. So there were probably 35 or 40 people when we got there at like 15 minutes before it was supposed to start.
Right.
When we got there for the draft, like at 3, there was maybe there would have been 8 people who would have done it.
At least 8 people around, yeah.
Yeah.
There were a lot of people that were just sliming about and
much sliming.
go into the sliming in more detail.
Well,
this is what we're here for.
Well, we were there. We after we
making fun of our own kind.
After we found out that we didn't, you know, we weren't giving a straight answer on when it would start, we decided to wait around for a little bit. We'll see what's going to happen. So we were milling around the shop, looking at the board games. They do have a lot of board games there. I mean, what do you want to know? They're nerds.
The quality of participants go over. Give me an example.
There were trench coats. There were guys in like Walmart sweatpants,
yes,
and a really like threadbare t-shirt.
Oh God.
Lots
it was about
of combat
to just...
boots.
Right.
More black than you can possibly imagine.
Greasy hair touching the collar of the trench coat.
Like, when I used to play in tournaments, I always appreciated the guy who looked like a normal person.
Yes,
like
I bet.
Like he had like a regular pair of jeans, a regular shirt, hair was normal.
Actual pants.
It was like good to play against, not some guy in sweatpants and
I saw jean Lord shorts too, what. And it was jean January.
Shorts. Fantastic.
How old were these people?
Oh, they weren't children by any means. They were like probably
the older they are, the worse.
Correct.
They get.
Yeah.
That's the angle of my question is. I mean, and are we talking
anywhere from 22 to 45? I mean, maybe not that old, but they weren't young kids.
No, I mean, I'm sure there were some high schoolers there. I'm sure there were some kids like college age, but there are people. I mean, who I remember from playing tournaments like 4 or 5 years ago. Yeah, they're pushing 40.
So when you were in tournaments, were you on the younger side?
Yeah, I mean, I was sophomore, freshman in college.
And how? What is your overall? Was it a positive experience or a negative experience? Negative.
I stopped playing tournaments because people stopped showing up. Because I was playing Type 1, which is a cost prohibitive format. So it was hard enough to get tournaments going anyways.
To give listeners an idea, how much would you say like a typical deck is in T1?
If you well, most of the tournaments allowed like 10 proxies, but even then you're still looking at
$400,
$500 just because of like all the dual lands and like Force of Wills are so expensive.
Meaning the price to acquire the cards to assemble the deck you wanted.
Yeah. So the tournament scene kind of died down, and that's why I stopped playing.
I see.
So I guess I would say it was positive because if the tournament scene had kept going, I would have kept playing.
I wanted to talk about why everyone's theory on why nerds. I mean, I felt that they were almost unnecessarily antagonistic that day. Like that, yes, I was being fucked with for no reason other than wanting to spend money at the shop. And I guess I don't know why that happens or why they're so combative. I should consider myself part of that culture, but it just, you know, I don't know. I am uncomfortable sometimes.
Well, that's what I was going to ask. Do you guys feel like since we got away from the game and we are dressed and kind of act like normal citizens that
touched a boob?
Yeah. Touched a boob, had a girlfriend, had relations. Do you feel like that is a handicap when you go into tournaments like that? Are we the, you know,
I was nervous today just going into Universal and trying to buy singles
you made me go in first. You have to go open the door. I'm like,
all right. You can go in first. I don't want to go in here.
But is that, I mean, would that, let me ask you this question. If you did play in those tournaments, would that affect your play? Maybe not Jeff because he's had a lot of tournament experience.
Right. I'd have to sit down with him and get like a little lesson on like how to like tournament
like etiquette.
Yeah, tournament etiquette, exactly. Got it. Yeah. But yes, I would be nervous, of course. Like I was not nervous, but I didn't really enjoy the interactions at the shop. Well, once I got going, I was fine, but even like going to PAX, I was like, fuck, this is bad.
So would you compare going to a Magic tournament like that, like going to a death metal concert, like how we are like today?
Well, I mean,
jeans.
Contrary to like what you guys probably think, because I think Will thinks I'm like an argumentative bully half the time. And everyone thinks I'm a troll, but like I don't like I think a lot of nerds are like hold court, but they like want to assume like they have this since they are excluded because of the way they act sometimes from like everyday society, that they want to hold like this. They have like all this knowledge about the one thing they're really passionate about.
I'm really good at, yeah.
That I feel intimidated by that. Like even just trying to like interact with them. You know, even like comic books, like talking to the comic book shop guys about comics, I'd feel somewhat inadequate because I have more of like a jack of all trades. I have many things I like, but like nothing I'm super, you know, into. And that intimidates me.
Well, you don't have to be like, you don't have to just totally like have only one thing in your life to be as good at magic as somebody who has nothing else going on. Like you can have a full-time, well, you can't really have a full-time job and be as good as like a pro player, but
right.
You can have a full-time job and be as good as the best player at your local comic shop and not be a one-dimensional
person.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. I see what you're saying. Yeah. But it's when you meet someone who's very, I don't know. It's tough to explain.
I mean, we may be, and we haven't done this yet, for either the series as a whole or today. I mean, we haven't defined whom we're really talking about when we're talking about, quote, nerds, other than impugning their manner of dress. I mean, without without trying to completely derail the conversation.
When I think of like nerds, yeah. Like the first image that pops in my mind is Paul being loath to touch a door at Origins and just kicking it open with his foot.
I don't think that had.
Blam!
I don't remember that having anything to do with hygiene.
Well, I don't. Was that just laziness, or for hilarity's sake?
Paul, can you?
Was it just he found a door that swung both ways and wanted to kick it open?
Basically, it was pretty simple. I was 13 and immature.
You weren't 13. That was high school.
Okay, so at the oldest, I was probably 16. Still very immature. And we were leaving the venue, and I thought it was a good idea to kick the door open. And
then we walked right by like a 65-year-old guy with a shirt that said "Naked Coed Quidditch" on it.
Yeah, exactly. So, I feel like in that situation, what I did was just funny.
Okay, so that was
normal.
For the lols.
Yeah, people like that, I feel like we said before, feel comfortable in that situation, so they can do whatever they want. Obviously, outsiders gonna look at them and be like, "Oh, that's a bunch of dorks and nerds," but to everyone that's going to PAX, those people are normal.
What? Why do you think that? Like that? There's this stereotype, and I think it's somewhat based in fact that like they're. You know, they're poor hygiene, antisocial, like this type of dress that, you know, just is like, what are you thinking? Like, what's the deal?
Well, I mean, sitting in a comic shop playing basically a combination of poker and chess with D&D with a bunch of guys.
True.
Doesn't exactly promote healthy social skills.
Like a normal.
You're right. You're right. But like, I mean, like, it's like my first instinct when I'm like going outside my house, better shower.
Yeah. True. I think that's all.
Why do I have that thinking that these guys don't?
I cannot answer.
Yeah, that is, I don't know.
It's a mystery. I mean, we're just going to have to put that on our Wikipedia page or the William Klein wiki about unsolved mysteries. Why do nerds have bad hygiene?
Well, I think Will's right. We're talking about a certain sect of nerds.
True.
What percentage of
very extreme
total nerds they make up, I don't know. But there is a certain number of people who have these characteristics.
The guy with the Underhill Game shirt and the sweatpants.
Yes.
Who is 45 at least.
Cinched at the bottom, cinched at the top. Just uncalled for.
Yes.
Put on some pants, please.
See,
rolled straight out of his twin bed and into the shop.
But see, in that realm, he is accepted. That's totally accepted.
That guy, I see.
Yeah,
I've seen him at multiple shops 4 or 5 years ago. Yes. Yep.
So of course, like, I mean, he's accepted. When you go to watch your favorites, when you go to a Browns game, if you're dressed head to toe in brown sweatpants, a hoodie, a crazy beanie hat, you're accepted when you go there. Why is it any different when you go to a comic book store?
And I think that you're hitting upon an important point. I think it's fanaticism in general that, you know, like anyone who's, yeah, I think sports fans can become just as crazy.
Yeah.
But more girls like sports and they like nerd things.
That is true. That is true, yes.
And thus, that's maybe where the hygiene comes in, because you're like, well, half the guys I'm going to play with probably didn't shower today, so right. I don't feel like showering. Might as well get up, have these same sweatpants on that I had today, the same white t-shirt that I dribbled my cornflakes on. Right. We're going. So,
and I will equally contribute to the smell of Chinese food and gerbil cage.
Exactly. I mean, that's very stereotypical and probably wrong of us to make assumptions.
We saw it. It was there.
We have evidence.
I'm saying I feel
we
like...
We saw it today. Those guys were kind of weird. Like,
well, yeah. There was a 45-year-old there that had a t-shirt on and one of those like lumberjack beanies. And he was literally 45. And I was like, there was a girl there that was like 16. I'm like, should these two people be allowed to...
Did you see the guy with like the button down? Like, it was like the Hawaiian shirt, but it wasn't a Hawaiian print. It was a Spider-Man print.
Yes, I did. Yes. I enjoyed
they
that.
Those.
Yeah.
Dragon Ball Z Hawaiian shirts.
Overall, I mean, I think it's like anything else. You always have those people that are at the height of the stereotypes. Sports, nerd stuff.
I mean, what I'm hearing overall is that you guys don't think it's really any different than any other group.
It's what's accepted and what's not. True. You can spend, I don't know, 10 hours a week focusing on your fantasy football team and that's okay.
Yeah.
But if you spend 10 hours a week playing Magic or playing board games, you're a nerd. I mean, that is what it is.
It's cultural.
Yeah, culture is not to be ignored.
Truth.
So 50 words or less. Define nerd for me.
God.
50 words or less.
I mean, you know, just you know.
I mean, I'm gonna go with like what we've heard from the Penny Arcade guys, or you know that sort of those who I think have done a good job of trying to quote mainstream that culture. You know, someone who's just passionate about, you know, certain things to the point of, you know, wanting to go to these conventions or dress up like their favorite character, or have a closet shrine to you know, what's that guy's name? Pattinson. No, from yeah, Cloud from Final Fantasy, exactly. Giant sword with a chain on it. But I just think it's someone that with a you know, elevated passion, and I think that's good. I'd rather I identify with those people than the person who's just like, well, got home from work, couch, American Idol, you know, two sleeves of Chips Ahoy.
Oh man,
yeah.
First name Fat.
His given first name was Fat. Middle name Matt. So, you know, I mean, I'm glad that to see people, you know, driven and passionate about some stuff rather than apathetic and not curious about anything. Paul?
I would generally have to, yeah, give me a refill too. All right. Make it pretty strong.
This is a 21 and over edition of Sanity Plea Radio that you're listening to.
I guess to go along with Dan, I would have to agree. I mean, it's that kind of, I guess, nerd culture that goes along with everything. It just encompasses everything that, you know, one group of people do together for fun, or maybe more than fun. Maybe it's their life. I mean, I don't know anywhere else to put it.
50 words or less. What is a nerd? I mean, it's socially driven. It's pretty much anything that doesn't involve like what you see on TV, or
true,
what you see just constantly fed in all the forms of media. I mean, playing board games or playing with forests and birds of paradise and
cardboard
green cards. Yeah. Playing D&D. I mean, it seems like there's just certain parameters that are set, and it's like you'll know it when you see it. That's really what it is. I mean, you're not going to find a Webster's definition for what a nerd is.
All right.
True.
Good. Well done. And speaking of which, Jeff has been shuffling his cards pensively and perhaps expectantly for like 10 minutes.
That's now. A bad habit from playing for so long. It just feels good to shuffle cards. If that sounds weird, it sounds weird.
He loves shuffling. The smooth cards going, mixing up.